Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Union Bank of India earnings conference call for the period ended March 31st, 2024. The bank is represented by the Managing Director and CEO, Ms. A. Manimekhalai, Executive Director, Shri Nitesh Ranjan, Shri Ramasubramanian S., Shri Sanjay Rudra, Shri Pankaj Dwivedi, and other members of the top management. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand over the call to Mr. Anit Thomas Zakaria, Deputy General Manager. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I, Anit Thomas Zakaria, Deputy General Manager of Investor Relations Department, welcome you all for the Union Bank of India earnings con call for the period ended 31st March 2024. The structure of the con call shall include a brief opening statement by respected MD and CEO ma'am, and then the floor will be open for interaction. Before getting into the con call, I will read out the usual disclaimer statement. I would like to submit that certain statements that may be discussed during the investor interaction may be forward-looking statements based on the current expectations. These statements involve a number of risks, uncertainties, and other factors that cause the actual result to differ from these statements. Investors are therefore requested to check this information independently before making any investment or other decisions. With this, I now request our respected MD and CEO ma'am for her opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good afternoon to all of you. I welcome you all on behalf of Union Bank, and I also thank you for joining us today. We appreciate your support and valuable feedback. Despite the global geopolitical tensions, the Indian economy remains strong, supported by high GDP growth and sustained positive momentum. At Union Bank, our strategic focus has always been to build a sustainable business with a customer-centric approach. Let me just give you a brief on what guidance that we had given for the year FY24 and what the actual numbers are. We provided financial guidance at the start of FY24, and I'm pleased to report that the bank is aligned well with the projections that we have made. We aimed for a YoY deposit growth of 8%-10% for FY24, and we ended the year with 9.3% growth. The advances growth projected was 10%-11%, and we could achieve 11.7% growth. The NIM guidance was set at 3%, but we were able to achieve 3.10%, and our YoY basis, our NIM improved by almost 3 basis points. We aimed to reduce our gross NPA to less than 6%, and we successfully brought it down to 4.76%. Regarding gross recovery and net slippages, we exceeded our goals by keeping slippages below 12,000 crore and achieving a gross recovery of 18,554 crore. Let me now quickly run through the highlights on our financial performance. Firstly, I'm happy to share that we have achieved our highest-ever net profit of 13,648 crore for FY24, with an impressive year-on-year growth of 62%. Our operating profit of the bank reached 28,210 crore, registering a growth of 10.8%, largely driven by net interest income of 11.6% and a non-interest income growth of 10%. The total business of the bank reached 21.5 trillion, with a deposit base of 12.21 trillion and advances of 9.05 trillion. The RAM portfolio increased by 13.8%, and our RAM lending to corporate lending ratio remains at 55-45 ratio. The capital position of the bank is quite strong, with 16.97 as our CAR and 13.65 as CET1 ratio. The gross NPA has reduced by 277 basis points. PCR increased at 37.5%, 235 bps with to 92.69%. The ROA and ROE has is at 1.03% and 15.58%. Our operating profit has declined sequentially to by 4.3%, and as all of you are aware, it is primarily due to the increase in expenses related to wage revision and additional provisions for pensions amounting to 1,334 crores. Beyond the financial, this year the bank achieved many milestones. We raised 8,000 crores in equity capital, the largest among the public sector banks, and our market capitalization also crossed 1 lakh crore. We have received some upgradations from the rating agencies, and we have also been included in the MSCI Global Standard Index among our other achievements. We have been taking many initiatives in the last couple of years to strengthen our organization, including to strengthen the underwriting and digital capabilities. Our bank is in the forefront of adopting advanced IT and cybersecurity systems, and we have also been adjudged as number 3 in the ease ranking of the, you know, all the public sector banks. During the current year, we have taken many new initiatives, like for the CASA transformation, we have taken new initiatives. We are targeting the RUSU centers and growth hotspots to increase our high potential in these locations. We have also set up a customer service excellence cell to provide top-notch service to all my customers. Looking ahead, we see significant opportunity to drive business growth. Although the operating environment may be a bit challenging due to the tight liquidity, we are optimistic that the bank will continue its efforts to capitalize on these substantial opportunities that lie ahead of us. Thank you, and I'm now open for questions. Thank you, all of you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to 1 or 2 per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Mahrukh Adajania with Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Ma'am, so your annual slippages are within your guidance, but there has been a sharp increase in MSME, agri and retail slippage QQ in the fourth quarter. Though, of course, the overall figure for the year is in line with your guidance. So if you could explain if there's any seasonality or any specific geography related issue or any segment related issue within these three segments. That's my first question, and I have two others.
Yeah, good afternoon, ma'am. As you tell, right, told that MSME and agriculture, there is a slippage is more on the last quarter. But in historically also, if you're looking at it, around 1,000 crores are slipping every last quarter of every year in the agriculture sector, because this is about the repayment and the seasonality which coincide on that. That is the reason. MSME, it is normal, which we taking into account our portfolio and the what is the slippages happening. It is normal, and we are closely monitoring those things.
Sure, but sir, the growth in this quarter, QOQ, is much sharper than the previous last few years, and then on a sequential basis. And also, like when private banks say, they say that first and third quarter have seasonality in terms of repayments. So how is it different for state banks? Why is it more seasonally weaker in terms of repayments in fourth quarter, like say relative to private banks? So I know that PSUs have a larger agri portfolio than private, but still asking just for understanding.
No, no, that is what we have. Public sector, you see, the way we are having our agriculture portfolio, that is, if you are looking at it, our major are coming from even pan-India also, it is there actually all over the India. And especially our concentration, because of the branch network, our concentration is more on UP, Maharashtra, our Karnataka and Andhra Pradesh and Telangana. So this basing on the seasonality of the crops, this payment comes up in fixed by that. Then normally we find that the last quarter slippages in agri is little higher.
Okay, sir. So, okay, and then my next question...
One thing we should understand that as per the RBI guidelines also, the slippages in the agri portfolio, once the repayment comes in, immediately we can give the loans also to these sectors. Now, if you look at my agriculture portfolio, if I look at June to March, there has been, you know, increase, but in the last quarter it has increased, and as ED also pointed out, it is because of the seasonality of the crops and also because of the geographical conditions in these locations. But going forward, these slippages will be now converted into advances when the payment comes through during the payments usually come in this quarter, and then the, you know, fresh we can make fresh advances also.
Got it. That's helpful, ma'am. And yes, and just in terms of, so would MSME and agri be linked, because there's rice processing in MSME, you know, all these processing units. So are the MSME agri slippages are linked or not really?
Ma'am, sometimes, you know, the food processing industry is, you know, either classified as agriculture or MSME based on, of course, the investments that is made in that sector. Most of the, you know, rice processing and dal processing industries are classified as agriculture only. Other than that, based on the investment, it is all classified under MSME.
Okay, that's so helpful. And just if you
Sorry
could explain them.
May I request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions? Thank
you. Sure, thanks.
The next question is from the line of Ashok Ajmera from Ajcon Global. Please go ahead.
Good noon, ma'am, and all the management team sitting there. Yes, ma'am. Overall, if you see on the overall year's performance, it's fantastic. And
thank you, sir.
Every guidance given by you, ma'am, has been achieved. The only concern is on the operating profitability, which is mainly you said that because of the employees cost, the pension. But we have seen in most of the other banks that majority of the of this provisioning was done into the December quarter. Now here you see our employee cost has gone up to 4,829 crore in this quarter against 3,279, which has had a major impact. Some impact has been offsetted by increase in the other income by thousand crore in this quarter. So going forward, what will be our run rate on the employees per month cost so that we can get a clear idea? And what is the reason or what are the exact calculations for such a high employee cost in this quarter, ma'am?
Sir, actually, thank you for the compliments. With regard to the wage revision expenses, we have done this provisions every quarter, actually. And every quarter it was done, as you are aware, we have been talking about this. The additional provision to the extent of 1,334 crores is what we have done in this quarter. This is mainly for pension, gratuity and leave encashment. That was what we have taken up. Wage arrears provision also we have taken close to 463. The total additional provision that we have done, additional impact on staff expenses is close to about 1,334 crores. So that is what has impacted our operating profit.
Okay, ma'am, point well taken, sir. Going forward, ma'am, what will be our monthly or quarterly employees cost approximately, because all this provisioning has been done, extra provisioning?
Yeah. So you know, because of the bipartite, every quarter, the increase in HR costs would be about 330 crores. So if you try and, you know, standardize the HR establishment costs, you know, say for example, if you take the September quarter of this year, you need to add about 330 crores. And that is already reflected in this year's numbers as well. So ideally, you should not see so much of an increase in the HR cost going forward. You might probably see about a 6 to 7% percent increase in the HR costs on an annual basis. And that is because of increase in expenses like DNS allowance, etc. But it's now kind of, so you know, very simply put, about 1300 crores is the one time hit that we've taken in
about 1300 crore per month. According to you, isn't it, sir?
330 crores per quarter.
Per quarter.
Means approximately the monthly cost will be 1250 to 1300 crore, isn't it?
No.
The monthly expense will be close to about 110 crores with regard to addition expenses of 110 crores per month.
Yes. Yeah. Normal
month. Sir, I request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions.
No, I'm just discussing the point, my dear. Ma'am, what will be the impact of these RBI guidelines which has come for the higher provisioning of the project finance loan?
Sir, as per the RBI guidelines provisioning, we are not seeing much impact on... to give you a small number, we are still calculating the numbers. There is a lot of clarity that needs to come. We have got about 68% of our loan book is completed projects. Out of that, project loans to corporate is only about 28%. So we are not seeing much of an impact, and which we will be able to manage.
Okay, ma'am, I will take the point further. Some other points are there, but if the time permits, I'll come back again. Otherwise, we'll meet later.
Sure, thank you.
And just to answer your question, the quarterly cost as far as establishment cost or staff cost would be roughly about 3,300 to 3,500 crores.
Yeah, so that's what I have said, maybe 1,150 to 1,200 crore per month.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to one or two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, everyone, and congratulations on good results overall, but for the high OPEX. So my first question is on the capital. Now if I look at, because bank has raised capital very well over the year and has reduced government holding to the minimum to like less than 75. So how do we really look to deploy this capital better? Because the growth rates that we are targeting now is still like closer to where we have been, and our ROEs are significantly higher than the loan growth. So we will ideally keep on accreting capital. So what's the plan to utilize this capital ratios better?
The capital raise, the deployment of these capital will be towards the capex for the bank. You understand that the bank is looking forward to utilize a lot of capex on building the digital portfolio of the bank also. So that is one area that we are looking at. Secondly, of course, for the growth of the bank, at least in the credit portfolio, we are looking at that. We have also seen a little bit of increase in our establishment expenses. That is also another area. We are also looking at, growth in our branch expansion for the current year. About, we are close to about 200 to 250 branches is what we are looking at to grow in the current year. So these are the areas that we will be looking to, deploy our capital.
Okay, ma'am. And the second question is on the overall tax rate, because we have been absorbing the DTAs and a tax rate therefore is elevated, and despite that we have been able to deliver more than 1% ROA. So what is the outlook there? By when do we plan to migrate to the lower tax rate? How much is the outstanding DTA remaining that are yet to be absorbed?
Yeah, so we have already migrated to the lower tax rate in the current year, which is March 24. However, you're not seeing the impact because we've had a write back in terms of the deferred tax asset. So that's the reason why you're seeing that the effective tax rate is higher in the range of around 35% or so. But in the current year, which is 24-25, you see the effective tax rate in the 25-27% range. So you'll see that, you know, in the current year.
Okay. And so related to it, then what will be our ROA guidance as such for FY25?
So we have given an ROA guidance which would be higher than 1%, and we would stick with that.
Okay, sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Kunal Shah with Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, man. So, with respect to write-offs and the recovery from that, so when we look at it this year, we have almost done like 4,000 odd crores kind of recovery from the return of accounts. And we are guiding for recoveries to continue quite strong getting into FY25 as well. But broadly, if you can just highlight maybe out of this 16,000 crores of guidance for say, right, recovery, how much of that could be from the return of accounts and the pool out there? Yeah.
Last year, actually, our recovery in the technically written off account is around 4,000 crore. And also, we have recovered the dummy ledger interest, dummy interest to the extent of 3,000 crore. So altogether, it is around 7,000 crore. And we hope that this year also our total, we are expecting the total recovery of around 16,000 crore. And our recovery from the technically written off accounts will be more than 4,000 crore for the current financial year also.
Okay, that will be like more than 4,000 crores. And when you look at it in terms of the related question, maybe the dummy interest which was accrued during this year, so is that the reason that despite maybe exiting the Q4 with this kind of a margin, we are still guiding for 2.8% to 3% margin? Or is it more in terms of the cost of deposits catch up and how much of repricing on the deposit is still left?
Repricing on advances, you're asking?
No. So I was just saying in terms of the overall margins, the exit quarter margins which have been there, okay, the run rate, at least in terms of the guidance that we are giving, is still lower. So is it to do more with respect to the further catch-up in cost of deposits which can happen? Or is it maybe the component of recoveries which got accrued in this year, that might not repeat next year, and that's the reason we are still saying like 2.8% to 3% margins, yeah.
So margin of 3% NIM. You are talking about the NIM, you know, net interest margin.
Yeah. So NIM we exited at 3.1. Guidance is 2.8 to 3. Okay, so is it because of cost of deposit repricing or is it because of a lower recovery even from the interest component? Yeah.
So this is basically because we are expecting some pressure on our cost of funds, and that's the reason why we've given a guidance of 2.8% to 3%.
Okay. So how much of repricing would still be left on the deposit side? We already see like we are at 5.2 overall cost of deposit.
Yeah.
No, it actually depends on the kind of liquidity that we are going to have. In the current fiscal, of course, we have seen a good liquidity in the month of April, but in the month of May and June, we feel that the liquidity will be slightly under pressure. So based on the liquidity conditions, the cost of funds, so that is how we have given a guidance of 2.8% to 3% on our. But this is, of course, subject to review. If the market conditions improve, we will come out with better numbers, probably after looking at the liquidity position in the market.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshil Jhaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you so much for taking my question and congratulations for a stellar set of results. Ma'am, I just wanted to ask what kind of loan growth and deposit advances do we look for FY25 and will our GNPA decrease further?
Yeah, my guidance for the year, the next year guidance is that we will be close to about 9 to 10% in our 11 to 13% in our advances. Deposit growth will be about 9 to 11%, and our slippages will be containing below 11,500. And gross recovery we are looking at 16,000 crores.
Sorry, ma'am. Gross slippages. Sorry, could you just repeat the question?
Gross recovery will be 16,000 crores, and slippages we are likely to reduce it below 11,500 crores.
Oh, okay. Perfect, perfect, ma'am. And our GNPA, ma'am?
Gross NPA will be below 4%.
Oh, perfect, perfect. Thank you so much, ma'am. And just one more question. Just with how the economic outlook currently, do we see any sector where, you know, there might be more pressure due to inflation or something, you know, just like how is the economy doing well, or some part where, you know, can be a surprising pressure?
So, hi, you know, in terms of, first of all, when you say the economy is doing well, as a bank, we are actually focused more on sunrise sectors. But when you say inflation, as you would have seen, even RBI has been stating, they are cautious about inflation eating into salary, you know, salary-led or retail-led credit growth, which is why they've already tried to crack down on unsecured retail. So retail is one portfolio with personal loans growth for the system at 27%, excluding margin effect at 16 to 17%. So broadly, retail is one area which may come under pressure on account of higher inflation. Otherwise, on other corporate side, basically, we are actually witnessing the momentum is just starting to pick up after 10 years, and the momentum may still continue. Thank you.
Oh, perfect.
My CA has already said, we are also looking at a private capex in FY25, a pickup in the private capex, especially in the telecom, the construction, and the road and the railways, food processing. These are the sectors that we are really looking at. There, the government has also talked about hotspots, the growth centers in various locations like tourism and all those areas. So we are also focusing on these areas to improve our loan growth.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Rakesh Kumar from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Hi, man. Thanks a lot for the opportunity and a good set of numbers for this quarter. So my question is basically pertaining to one is that, you know, interest income on the IT refund, that number has, like, you know, doubled now to more than 1,000 crore for the entire year. So any expectation there that, you know, how it would be in next year, though it is slightly difficult to predict, but if you can tell us, you know, the number is quite sizable.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously IT refunds cannot be, you know, forecasted with good accuracy. So we would, you know, conservatively look at, you know, maybe about 500 crores of IT refunds, interest on IT refunds.
And considering the second part, considering the flow of the run rate of the slippage for this quarter, would it be like, you know, the guidance that we have given, credit cost guidance, so we would be able to stick to that number, our slippage number of 11,500 crore, because the run rate has increased suddenly in this quarter.
Yeah, actually, if you look at my slippages of whatever we have had during the current year, of, 11,000 and odd, out of that, 750 crores is a slippage from my previous, years. That is because of the aging provision. Aging is what we have got, and plus we've also got recovery of close to 1,500 crores. With that, actually my slippage is around 9,665 crores only for the current year. So with this, I will be able to maintain my ratio that we have talked about, credit cost ratio that we have talked about.
Okay, so credit cost number, how much you said, ma'am, the guidance for 25?
We are, you know, at the same range. We are looking at, you know, the current year it was about between 60 to 70,
yeah.
70 bits. So that is how we are looking at for the next year.
We are looking at a guidance of less than 1% in terms of credit cost.
Understood, sir. Understood. Thanks, sir. Thanks a lot and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Mundra from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, ma'am, and thanks for the opportunity. And thanks for the disclosure on the some of the.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. May I request you to use your handset, sir? Your voice is not audible.
Hi, thanks a lot, ma'am, for the opportunity. I have a few questions. One is on project loans, the new RBI draft guidelines. You mentioned that, you know, just to clarify that, you know, you had mentioned that 68% of the project loans are already completed and rest maybe 30% is under under implementation. Is that number right? And is this a part of your the entire 4 lakh crore corporate book or, you know, what is the absolute number here?
So my total corporate advances, as you have also mentioned, is about 4.07 lakh crore. Out of that, you know, the if you take out the NBFC portion, the remaining out of the remaining portion, 68% of that is project loans. And out of that, sorry, out of that, 68% are completed loans, and the remaining is you know, in various stages of implementation.
Right, ma'am. It would be great if you have the absolute number, but anyway. So, ma'am, let's say assuming this goes through, the rest, I mean, only the 32% numbers, 32% of the project loans, which would have some impact, right, on provisioning. The 68% which are already completed may not have any substantial markup. The question is, do you sense that these 68% project loans, which are already complete, could there be any incentive for the bank to increase the prices here? I mean, what I'm asking is, under these guidelines, do the operating assets can have higher pricing from banks?
See, this is the RBI draft guideline has come for discussions, and we are also having internal discussions with ourselves. What are the things which we want to? RBI also called for our views on this. So, we are also working on that. But if you are looking at it, in the corporate book, 28% is of the corporate book is we have under the project loans. And out of the 28% of the corporate book, 68% are completed project. But as per the RBI draft guidelines, even after completion of the also, I mean, in the operation phase, we have to have the higher provisions has to be done till that 20% repayment is being paid back. So, basing on all these things, there is a room, but it cannot be, we will be closely, once if it is being implemented, we will be closely associating with the corporate, and we will, because the same thing we have done it in NBFC also. See, NBFC also, it come in the December quarter, December, when RBI introduced the higher provision norms, we engaged ourselves with all the NBFCs, and we improved the pricing. So, same thing it will be done. It will not be like a over the table, we will not do it, but there is always with a good negotiation and engaging ourselves and looking at the long term business prospects, this always will be done.
Just to clarify,
sir.
It's too early to have any speculation on the numbers right now, actually. The RBI is actually currently seeking a lot of inputs from the banks and various other institutions, and we have also given our feedback to them for to the analysis, and we are sure that the RBI will take a prudent view on this. So I think we should wait for the final decision before taking any view on this subject.
Right. Well, just to clarify then, see, out of 4 lakh crore, 28% only is project loans, and of which 68% is already completed. Is that
yes, exactly. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Second question, ma'am, is on guidance on loan growth, right? So we are saying that 11 to 13%. And within that, do you think that the RAM growth will be a bit higher than the overall growth and corporate growth will be
so,
a bit slower as
yeah,
is the case right
we
now?
We have projected ratio of 55% to 45%. That is what we are saying. Corporate loan will grow at the ratio of 45% will be at the corporate loan. We are looking at a growth of the ratio of 55% growth in our retail portfolio will be, and the RAM portfolio will be constituting 55% of the total. Historically we are growing at 11% to 13% in our RAM portfolio, and similar growth is what we expect in the current year also.
Right, understood. And ma'am, on the recovery of 16,000 crore this year that we estimate, is there any breakup between, let us say, NCLT or maybe NARCL and, or this is going to be only granular retail MSME kind of a thing?
Yeah, in case of the current year recovery target, already the NARCL 11 accounts are under discussion with the NARCL amounting to almost 1,990 crore. As I already said, our target to recovery through the technically written off is in the range of the 4,000 crore. NCLT also, the progress is quite satisfactory. Last year, resolution happened in almost 3,200 crore. In 8 accounts. This year also we are expecting some good number of accounts where the resolutions are in progress, and equivalent amount also 4,000 crore we are targeting for the current year also.
Okay. And so just to understand, this dummy interest goes to P&L, right? That is why it is called dummy interest, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And that 3,000 crore that we did in this year, you think that could be a similar number this year, or this should come down as total recovery is also declining by,
that what we have observed in the previous year also, that is 22-23 also, it was around 2,700 crore. So it is in the range of 2,700 to 3,000 crore annually.
Okay, understood. Last question, sir, or ma'am, if you can comment on the unsecured personal loan. We had a portfolio of around 11,000 odd crores. What is the number right now, and if you can share any slippages in that book, and in the absolute number of the portfolio and the GNPA or slippages in that book.
As with regard to personal loans, including credit card, there is a very marginal growth actually. If you look at 12,587 was my last year's numbers, and the present is about 12,983. There is a growth of about 3%, and in credit card we have a degrowth of about 2%. Not much of delinquency in these in those books, because it is given to all salaried employees who have got accounts at the bank. We have not seen much slippages in my personal loan book.
Thanks a lot, ma'am.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sushil Choksi with Indus Equity Advisors. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Congratulations for stable numbers, ma'am, and the team Union Bank. Ma'am, in your opening remark, you highlighted that you're going to have a huge capex or a large number on digital and branch initiatives. Can you elaborate a little more? What are the initiatives we're taking under that?
Yeah, so when we talk about the digital and IT, I'd just like to give a color that we have been continuously been augmenting our IT capacity to make it more robust and resilient. So if you look at our capex on the IT over the last few years, I think in FY22 it was around 5 billion INR. FY23 it was close to 6.5, and which we augmented significantly in the last financial year to around 11.5 billion. And on top of that, this year also, again, the plan is of around close to 14 billion of capex related to the IT, and which includes the core IT, the security, the analytics, and the digital transformation project that we are underway. And it encompasses, you know, hardware augmentation, network capability, and the security capability. So far as the digital things are concerned, you are aware that we have, from the last year, we have started investing in digital capability, building the digital platform, which also includes the creation of the mobile banking platform on our own, which will be migrating to during the current financial year. Simultaneously, we have also been building several digital journeys, and which MD in the opening remarks alluded to. Close to around 12-13 journeys are already there. And on the asset side, we have done a business of around 8,300 crores on that. And on the liability side, total of, I think, around 20 lakh customers have been able to open the liability side accounts through our mobile app. And close to around 60,000 crores of deposits flow have happened through that. Simultaneously, we are covering the low ticket size MSME and the agri loans for the auto renewal on the digital side. That amount also and number of accounts is significantly higher. We have invested in analytics capability by building the data lake and the analytics, which is a work in progress. So overall, I think one part is that we'll continue to invest heavily into IT infrastructure. And the idea is that, and we have been telling this earlier also, that over the next few years, around 50% of our retail origination should happen through the digital channels. So I think we are on track.
So this would lead to a reduction in cost to income by how much?
So very difficult to say at this point of time, but if you look at the financial institutions who have invested in digital, I think the impact on the cost to income ratio is it comes with a lag of around 3 to 5 years, because the initial investment is pretty high. So not in the immediate years, but if you look at maybe 3 to 5 years from now, it can definitely have an impact of 2 to 3% on the cost to income ratio.
And this doesn't include any Union Bank shared service which you are planning to or implementing, right?
No, in overall reduction of the cost to income ratio, obviously the shared services will also have some positive impact.
Yeah, but this expenses on what you're incurring is only part of Union Bank balance sheet, not shared service.
Right.
Okay. My second question is, ma'am, as we are, you are witnessing still tight condition as a assumption of your forecast, with India being included in various indexes starting from Bloomberg and JP Morgan, how are we prepared to capitalize on this opportunity which the bond market and the money market and the FX, which would emerge and throw a big, huge benefit to banks, specifically a size of your bank, which can garner a huge money flow through various schemes and the security market?
Yeah. The bond indexation news is already there in the market. That will happen during the June month. There will be expectation of 10 to 15 or 25 billion of dollar indexation will happen. This will happen over a period of next 1 year. We will take this as an opportunity and include those corporates and FBIs in our folder and try to generate a custodian facility which can be extended to those FPIs, so that we can able to increase our fee income as well as trading activity in those segments. That will be a plus factor for it very positively in the coming days.
Any quantifying or measures you have taken within the bank? Or
we have an independent fee activity that will increase our volume and net worth, so that we can able to garner those things very positively. As of now, it is in the initial stage. We will look for the opportunity in the coming days when the indexation inclusion happens.
But have we implemented anything in GIFT City or overseas branches?
We have requested for getting the permission from Reserve Bank of India. It is in the final stage. We are looking to get the permission as early as possible. When that happens, definitely we will look for opening our setup at GIFT City.
Ma'am, what is your guidance on ROE and ROA for the coming year?
ROE, we said we will be above 1%.
Are we being conservative or?
We will be above 1%.
Okay.
No, because, you know, I think, you know, the reason why we're saying above 1% is because we have been saying that our NIM would be 2.8 to 3. So, obviously, that could also have an impact on the ROE. And therefore, we're sticking with the guidance of greater than 1%. Obviously, we'll try to, you know, beat that.
Okay. Thank you and all the best for the years to come.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikram Raghavan from Moon Capital. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, team, on a wonderful quarter and all the best for the upcoming quarter. I just have one data keeping question. What is the interest recovery or the dummy ledger recovery in this quarter? Last quarter, we did 995 crores. Thank you.
Last year, we recovered altogether 3,000 crores. And as I said earlier also, on an average, we are recovering around 3,000 crore annually. So this year also, we are targeting 3,000 crore of dummy ledger.
This quarter, we recovered from the dummy ledger about 850 crores.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashlesh Sonje with Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi team, good afternoon. Just a couple of questions from my side. Firstly, on the personal loans book, can you share some trends on what the GNP ratio on this book looks like, how it has trended in the last few quarters, and any observations which you have seen on the delinquencies in this?
Yeah, the NPAs on my personal loan is to the extent of less than 1.5% actually, and I'm not seeing trend in any of the slippages, because as I said, these are all to my own customers, salaried customers who are already banking with us, drawing salary from various authorities, but they are banking with us, salary is drawn from my bank. So I am not seeing much of a trend in this and problem in this portfolio. But however, my book is also very small, less than 13,000 crores is my book, and I have not seen much of a slippage in this book.
Yeah, our slippage is quite consistent. You know, even the, our March 24 slippage is consistent with what we reflected in the December 23 quarter as well. For personal loans.
What would look like if I go back and go for December quarter?
Sorry to interrupt, sir. You're not audible. May I request you to use your handset?
Am I audible now?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah, what was the GNP ratio, let's say, in the December quarter or in the March FY23 quarter?
The GNPA ratio in the December quarter was 4.83%, and in the
specifically on the personal loans book.
No, personal loans, separate, yeah.
Yeah, it would be similar. Yeah.
And secondly,
we're not able to hear you.
You're not audible, sir. May I request you use your handset, please?
Any sense on what is the repricing left in the MCLR linked loan portfolio?
It's just about, if you can see the repo rate increased by 250 bips, but then we passed on only to the extent of 165 bips to the customers. I still have I can pass on to the customers still further. But then depending on the market conditions and the liquidity positions, only then I will be increasing the MCLR numbers.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Rakesh Kumar with BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot, ma'am, for the opportunity again. Ask one question with respect to the borrowing strategy, the Treasury Department, the way, the borrowing number has come down, year on year. and sequentially also. So could you give some understanding, like what is what we are planning and doing there on the borrowing?
Yeah, as far as domestic treasury is concerned, we are having a excess SLR against which only we are borrowing. As far as our global balance sheet is concerned, we have a tied-up with the HSBC bilateral loan agreement of $500 million. So that will help to meet our requirement. Other than that, whatever required, we will be doing those activities through either syndication loan or bilateral loan, depending upon the credit demand in the global market. India is concerned, we are having excess SLR, with which we will be able to, whenever required, to keep our CD ratio within the tolerable limit, we will take the chance. Otherwise, we will raise the fund by way of bulk deposits or CD to take care of the credit demand.
Excess would be how much, sir, in the quant?
Now, as on March, we are having around 65 to 70,000 crores excess SLR that can be deployed for the purpose of credit requirement to keep our CD ratio.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you all of you for, you know, participating in the con call. Thank you once again for your, you know, continuous support to the bank. The bank is on a sustained growth path. We are taking measures to see that we have strong fundamentals and the compromise of our bottom line. We do not want to grow our top line too. And the bank is also very much concerned and open to the compliance part. The regulators' views are taken very seriously by the bank, and we are guided by the various RBI guidelines and the DFS guidelines and the various authorities, and we stand to see that all our initiatives that we have taken in the couple of years has yielded a lot of results to the bank, and we continue to make newer initiatives to see that, you know, the customers are you know, have the best of the products from the bank and also the right kind of services from the bank. Thank you all of you once again.
Thank you. On behalf of Union Bank of India, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.